life's center. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, Paul regretted. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. He was writing to the believers in Philippi, and he realized that he didn't know anyone who would naturally care for your state. Isn't that a pathetic statement? And yet it's true to life. Naturally, we are all selfish. We think only of what we can gain. This week, we are to think of what lies at the center of our life. What makes you tick? What makes you work for the things that you do? Plan for the things that you do. Each one of us should spend some time looking into our own hearts and asking ourselves these very important questions. I have a job. Why do I do that job? Is it for personal aggrandizement? Is it for money? Is it for prestige? Is it because it satisfies a sense of power and I can call the shots and order people around? What is it right inside me that makes me do what I'm doing? We talk about making a living, and then we talk about making money. When a man quits making a living and starts to make money, he's on dangerous ground. Ideally, our working should supply our needs so that extra energy can be devoted to being a blessing to the children of God and a glory to God. The lesson stresses that God is the great center. He is the center of the universe. From Him all life proceeds. To Him all service, homage, and allegiance belong. Under God, Adam was to stand at the head of the earthly family. This would have brought peace and happiness. But the law that none liveth to himself, Satan was determined to oppose. He desired to live for self. He sought to make himself a center of interest. And he has taught his lesson very well to human beings. Self has taken the place of God. Self is the dominant force in the life. And so naturally, the natural man does not care for anyone else. He cares only for himself. Part number one seeks to arrive at a meaning of selfishness. What is selfishness? Selfishness is living for self, planning for self, bending circumstances, all our resources, the friendships we have, the acquaintances we have, all the associations we have of our fellow men, bending them all to personal gain and personal ends. Selfishness. Have you ever talked to someone about an accident that you had? And you can see in 30 seconds after you begin telling him, he is dying for you to stop so that he can tell an accident that he had that was even more severe. Have you ever come out of surgery, and somebody asks you about your surgery, and you can see again in a minute that he's waiting to get a word in so that he can tell you his surgery was much worse. Maybe you get a raise in your salary. You mention it to one of your friends thinking he'll rejoice, and you see a cloudy look come in his eye. He didn't get a raise. And immediately he begins to equate your raise with his stable wage packet. He has not learned to rejoice with them that rejoice, to weep with them that weep. Everything is equated with himself. This is selfishness. Selfishness is thinking, acting, planning, manipulating circumstances, money, people for your personal aims. Self is the king of the life. Part number two, the results of the self attitudes. What do? If we are planning only for self, if we are advising ourselves for our personal advantage, we will make mistakes. Jews long ago said in the Talmud, never take the advice of a man who gains by giving it. And if we are constantly thinking about self, that sort of advice is bad. I can of my own self do nothing, Jesus himself said. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just because I seek not my own will. If Jesus had sought his own will, we would have been lost. When the cup of decision trembled in his hands in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. Even for Christ, the motive had to be selfless love for those in need. Because he loved, because he was utterly selfless, because he gave himself to die, he lives forever. He advises us, if any man will live, let him take up my cross and die. Die daily. If we will do that, then we will live. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground, it abides alone. But if it falls into the ground and dies, it will produce 100-fold. This is the principle of selfishness and selflessness. The seed that lives to itself perishes. The seed that dies brings forth 100-fold. Ananias and Sapphira lived for themselves. They made a pledge. Selfishness led to covetousness, and then lying, and ultimately self-destruction. Selfishness separates from God. It sets at variance men and families. It leads to a love of display and a corrupting of the true motives of the heart. Part number three, selfishness is manifest in the church. The Laodicean church says of itself, I am rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing. Arrogant, self-righteous, selfish, greedy. The sin that is most nearly hopeless and incurable is pride of opinion, self-conceit. This stands in the way of all growth. When the church says, I am in need of nothing, it will never progress. When it says, I am rich and increased with goods, like the foolish farmer, it doesn't give away. It stores it in his own barn. Selfishness is driving benevolence and the love of Christ from the church. It is this increasing devotion to money-getting, the selfishness which the desire for gain begets, that removes the favor of God from the church and deadens its spirituality. Selfishness can corrode and destroy the church, hold up the work of mission advance, and delay the second coming of Christ. Part number four, the fruit of selfishness. As a tree, so is its fruit. Nobody gathers figs or thorns. Thorns produce thorns. Figs produce figs. The fruit of selfishness is first of all self-destructive. The man who hoards his money becomes as hard as his money. Callous, unfeeling, mercenary, he withers within. He never thinks of the needs of the poor. He never does anything to change weariness to joy and depression to gladness by sharing some of His bounties. He has no consideration for the feelings of others. He just keeps for Himself. And this is one of the signs of the last days. As Paul says, men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. The mind must be constantly going out after God. The mind must be constantly aware of the needs of the fellow men if the fruit of selfishness is not going to be destroyed, is not going to destroy us. Part number 5, collective selfishness. When many individuals exercise covetousness and selfishness, the community to which they belong grows selfish. The members of a church talking over the size of their offerings can encourage one another to withhold tithes and offerings from the Lord. Collective selfishness, made up of little people with hard hearts, encouraging one another to move away from the God-centered attitude to the self-centered attitude. When the temple was to be built on the days of the returning captives, the Lord remonstrated with them. The temple is lying desolate, He says, and you are building houses. You are carving elaborate ceilings. You are making your homes beautiful. But My house lies waste. And He run every man to his own house. We can see this attitude sometimes even today. We have our homes, we have our furnishings, the very best we can. But to the Lord, we give a pittance. Part number 6, how to overcome selfishness. Selfishness must be rooted out. It must be displaced with selflessness. How do we do this? First of all, looking to Christ. What did Jesus do? He gave without expecting any return. We must give. Give. And continually give. If all we do is to hoard and keep, then we foster selfishness. But if when we get a motive, a desire, an impulse to keep, we look up and see the needs of the cause and the needs of our fellow men, and then we give, the seed of selfishness with us. Generosity, sacrifice, death to self, living for Christ, looking for areas and openings where we can benefit someone else. By these deliberate choices, by these grace-strengthened determinations on our part to use the resources God has given to us selflessly, will help the seeds of selfishness to die out in our characters. We need the love of Christ today to constrain us in all our relationships.